How do we find personal self-empowerment through spiritual awakening? Can we change our life through meditation? How do we evolve from sorrow to triumph? How do we feel connected to the universe other than alone in the universe? Today we have Reverend Dr. Keith Cox, spiritual leader of the Center for Spiritual Living, Los Angeles. Maybe he can answer some of our questions on finding personal self-empowerment through his teachings. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to Truth Be Told Studios, Reverend Dr. Keith Cox. There he is. Welcome, welcome.
I love the whoop whoop and the applause.
Right. What applause? No, just kidding. We're just hearing things. Yeah, it's been our cheesy applause ever since we started many years ago, and we just said, screw it, we'll keep it. Well, thank you so much for being part of Truth Be Told today. We have never had anybody from this, would you say church, or would you say a center?
In the traditional sense, yes, it's known as a church. But that certainly is a term that's not always welcomed in the modern world in a right. more positive manner. So it's the more modern term is a center.
Got it.
So we're known as the Center for Spiritual Living, Los Angeles.
And what is that? Like, you know, I grew up in the Midwest and, you know, traditional Christian church, Methodist church, Presbyterian, and the list goes on and on. So what is Center for Spiritual Healing? What is that? What does that mean?
We're a community that's part of a global organization, but we've been in place for 30 years, and we're part of a community on a global level that practices primarily the teachings of Dr. Ernest Holmes, that is called the Science of Mind. Science of Mind is a new thought philosophy at the turn of the 19th century. Individuals around the world had become aware of their own personal power with the use of their mind and the way that they showed up in the world, and that then they had the opportunity to impact the experience in their life. So that became known as a new thought philosophy, new thought teaching. The Science of Mind was one of those. And as I said, Dr. Holmes is the founder of this particular teaching in a book that was published in 1926. And this is a modern day expression of that. The essence of this philosophy, faith, and way of life is that there's only a single power that exists in the universe. You can call it whatever you want, God, the thing itself, you, me, or name it whatever you like, that we each individualize this power through our thinking, through our beliefs, our actions, and our reactions in life itself, and that we live in a universe that is governed by spiritual law, so much like there are physical laws or spiritual laws. And if you were to bring that down to a real essence, it's that what we're thinking, what's in our consciousness and our subconscious mind shows up in the world of effect, our experience. And so if we don't like what's going on in our experience of life, then we go inward and change our thinking, tend to our beliefs, our ideology, our philosophy, and then our way of life.
Wonderful. Yeah. And with Christianity, you know, you have Jesus, you have Moses that brought us. Well, Moses brought us the Ten Commandments, and then Jesus, you know, spoke of, you know, loving, you know, each other and taking care of each other, blah, blah, blah. But you said the rule of law, spirituality, who spoke those words, and what are those rules?
Well, it's not necessarily the rule of law. It's that we live in a universe that is governed by spiritual law, just like it is physical law.
But how do we know that, though? I mean, where did you...
Well, it's certainly, as I said before, it's a philosophy.
Oh, got it. Philosophy. So, okay, got it.
Right. But as we evolve into the modern world that we live in today, certainly in the evolved Western world, and when I use the term evolved, I mean as a result of science, it has been determined scientifically that our thinking can impact our external experience.
Yeah. And I believe that. I totally believe that. So I'm always comparing it to what I grew up with. I've never been to your center before, but you know, we the power of prayer, we've always heard, you know, pray, do your prayers to God. Is that the same with Center of Spiritual Healing or Living?
I do love that you call it a center for spiritual healing, because the ultimate goal on the journey of life through New Thought philosophies, also known as the practice of metaphysics,
right,
is that we are here to be on a journey of healing. But healing in the context, not just of physical healing, but healing as revealing the divinity that exists within. Mm. And so you were asking, how do we differ, or how is prayer done in this approach to spiritual living? And the prayer is, there is definitely prayer, but it's not prayer of supplication. It is more a prayer of affirmation.
Oh, okay.
So it's through the spoken word of affirming that we are divine beings, that we are imbued with the power of life, that one power that exists. Mm-hmm. And by using words and language that reflects that, then we can develop a higher consciousness than we had before, and in so doing be part of the co-creative process to the experiences we have in life.
Do you feel, and I'm not trying to put a wedge between anything, but do you feel modern, well, not even modern day, churches, traditional churches, do you feel sometimes that either puts a blockage, because we're saying fear, we're supposed to fear God, and do you feel like that puts a barrier between us and spirituality?
Yes.
Because a lot of people, to me, just growing up, you see the people say fear God, but yet a lot of people that are in charge of churches don't live up to what they're teaching.
Well, I think that that's a great question, Tony. And I agree wholeheartedly. And it's not just that those individuals aren't practicing what they're preaching. It is that when, once again, looking at this through the lens right. of the science of mind, is that if everything is a result of what's taking place in our consciousness, our state of mind, our thinking, if we want to look at it in a very practical way, then of course the last thing that one wants to focus on is fear in general, and then specifically fear of what is, in the traditional sense, defined as a deity that is outside of yourself, wherein you have no role in how that power then shows up in your life.
Right.
And so in metaphysics, it's the opposite of that. Since you are an individualized expression of that power, then you have a great role that you play in how you co-create your life. One of Ernest Holmes, my favorite Ernest Holmes quote of all times is, "Spirit has placed the stamp of individuality upon itself and called it you." And what I love about that is that it tells us that we are an individualized expression of the whole being, of that which it is. And so we are, if its essence is completion and perfection and wholeness and goodness, then that too is what we are imbued with.
How did your journey lead you to joining and then becoming a leader in your center? How was your journey to get you to where you are now? Because everybody has their journey, and some people don't get to that point where you're at.
Well, it's certainly been a festive, long, fun, and troubled journey, that's for sure. But I was drawn to the teaching, this particular way of life, the science of mind, because I'd been raised Southern Baptist and had some experiences that were not good as a Southern Baptist, primarily because I'm a gay man. I was a gay child at the time, and a gay teen who did, certainly my behaviors did not satisfy their doctrine and dictum, and even worse, that I was exhibiting behaviors that they didn't like. So I left the church, and in my early 20s, I was living in Atlanta, Georgia, and my first boyfriend, which is a bit of a loose term, but that's what we thought of each other at the time, was diagnosed and then died from AIDS. Mm. And so I was told I would be next. I was a young kid of 22, and it freaked me out. But something deep within me knew that that wasn't going to be my ultimate experience. And yet I went on a search for some answers spiritually, and a friend of mine took me to the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, which are now known as Centers for Spiritual Living. After having gone to several traditional churches prior to that and them asking me why I was there, and I told them I'm a gay guy looking for some help because of AIDS had been happened in my life, and they flipped out and didn't welcome me. And as I walked in the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, not only was I welcomed and honored for who I am, but the philosophy made perfect sense to me. It was the first time I had heard any type of spiritual teaching that seemed logical to me.
Wow. That's, I think everybody has their stories to get to where they need to be. Some people reject their own revealed pathways from universe, God, whatever. Yeah. And unfortunately, I think that's why churches and even centers like yourself are here to help so many people that are lost. And I think, I believe the old ways are slowly, not, I wouldn't say dying, but are slowly realized by people that we don't have to be so harsh on each other.
Well, absolutely. Not only do we not have to be so harsh on each other, but if we look at traditional Christianity as an example, it certainly has been shanghaied by the churches and the humans' philosophy of what is right and what is wrong and what is good and what is bad. If you look back really at the teachings of Jesus the man who then became the Christ,
right?
He was all about love, man. He was about love. He was about taking care of the weak. He was about helping those that were sick. He was about stepping in and doing his part and create a miracle so that people's needs were met. So I couldn't agree with you more. And I do think that as humanity is evolving into a higher awareness of their own personal self-power, but also the understanding of how old school religion was created as a means to control people and to invoke fear in them, that people don't want to live that way. And they don't have to live that way anymore because we have access to information and, and we all have deep within us wisdom. And so we can listen to that.
Yeah, that's what we say, and I've worked with many psychics. It's called the intuition or gut feelings, and a lot of people don't trust themselves.
Correct.
Let's talk about changing your life through spirituality, because that is something that I think many of us seek. We've been told, some cultures, they said, my parents want me to be a doctor, so I'm going to be a doctor. Some cultures say, I don't want you to do this or do that. And so they listen to their cultures or their parents or their grandparents. But there's also the internal dialogue that not just our family, but just society has told us what we're supposed to be. I'm not even talking about LGBT, but I'm talking about anything. But how do we change our life through spirituality? How can we use it to find our purpose, to find our way, to find our path in this life?
Well, it's actually really quite simple. I'm not saying the practice of it is simple, but the philosophy, the approach is very simple. And I think there's two tiers to that. And one is to know that you are enough just as you are. And I know that's a very simple and yet very broad, far-reaching statement. And then, which also leads off of the famous Ernest Holmes quote that I shared with you, the spirit has placed the stamp of individuality upon itself and called it you. So within that quote and within me saying that you're enough just as you are, what that means is that you are just as you are enough to fulfill the dreams and the desires that you have for your own personal life. And your dreams and desires are worthy of how you express yourself as a human while also being a divine being. And then the next step for that is to change your thinking around yourself, change your thinking around what is possible in your life, change your thinking around how you view the very essence of life itself and how you want to live your life. You know, the tenets of this teaching is really steeped in change your thinking, change your life, to align your beliefs that there's only one essence in life, and that we have the ability to impact our external as to how we tend to our internal. And so that's the way to do that. And I'm an example of that, as I know thousands and thousands of others that are as well. For years, I worked with teenagers doing this work for 17 years, and I've seen thousands of young minds that once they tapped into their own potential and then some glimmer of self-acceptance as to who they are, which is separate from sexual orientation, from gender, from your economic conditions, is just deep within, as the intuition that you just spoke of, then learning how to foster that and let it manifest itself into the outer world.
And why do you think people finally make that decision? What on their spiritual awakening, why do you think people get to that point? Or why does it take some people 20 years, some people 30 years, some people 50 years, some people never to have a spiritual awakening? What is it, do you think, switches for those people that actually start having an awakening?
I think there's two things, and there may be more, but at least two. One is oftentimes that can happen as a result of crisis in life, or inspiration. So that those can be the impetus for that to happen. But I think there's a deeper layer to that. I had the great opportunity to study in a group, large group, and follow the work of Dr. David Hawkins, who is a gentleman who through the years developed what is called the map of consciousness. And it speaks to the evolution of the mind of the individual and the collective of humanity. And having done a tremendous amount of work over the years of testing individuals through the vibrational field of their consciousness and this map, what he determined was that through the developmental stages of our consciousness, certainly in the Western world, that's looked at between the ages of somewhere 12, 13, 14, and early 20s, usually before the frontal cortex of the brain is developed, we develop our belief systems in life. And those belief systems become the core element of our mentality, our emotionality, the way that we engage in life, and our expectations around life. And so in all the work he did over the years, he found that most people only will move 20 points one way or the other on that scale in life unless they decide that they want to move differently, and then they engage in that growth through purpose and decision and intention.
Do you think sometimes, through death, you know, like when Princess Diana died, or a parent, or how death makes you realize that either a true meaning of a life or true meaning of how precious life is, that can change somebody's purpose or destination?
Absolutely. Because there again, if you take it back to death, can be either a situation that is really crisis-based, right? Or it can also be inspirational.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've witnessed death when it was in both situations. Those were both of the outcomes of it. But also death is that one thing that every living being on this planet knows is going to happen, right? But in as much as you know it's going to happen and that we are all going to share that experience, we're also not taught, certainly not in the Western world, we're not taught to be prepared for it,
right,
or what to do with it when it happens. And so if it's of a loved one, you know, typically you only, I say typically, really the reality is you only lose your mother or your father once.
Right.
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 So, so that has a huge impact on the psyche and the soul of an individual. And so certainly from that point, there is a yearning for answers that one doesn't have before. I've worked with a lot of people that have gone through this process of the death of a loved one. And it's oftentimes very assaulting to the emotions, to the senses of life. for a multitude of reasons. Right. You know, it's not only the own personal experience, but there's desire to know where the loved one has gone. Are they okay? Can they communicate with them? Right. You said you talked to psychics, you know, that's in that psychic phenomenon. There is that opportunity to then connect with that essence, that life that has moved on, which really is part of the components of the teachings of the science of mind. You know, the book is called The Science of Mind. And so it's believed that mind is infinite by nature.
Do you, well, speaking of after, I just recently had somebody near-death experience. I've had people talking about past lives. And then, of course, you know, heaven, we've talked about that before. What is your thought on the afterlife, after this life?
Well, I'll tell you my opinion.
Okay.
And then I'll also tell you what the teaching says.
Okay. All right? So give it to me.
So, my opinion is it's the next thing, right? It's the next dimension that we as an entity of an energy form, goes to. That's what I think about it. Right. Mm-hmm. And the force of energy that brought us into this experience of life, this physical realm of life, is going to take us to the next, whatever that is. And I also believe that whatever is at the essence of who we are and our ability to process that mentally, emotionally, experientially is going to go with us. Now, what is that going to look like in the next dimension? I have no idea. Right. I mean, I've never been there, so I don't know. Right. So it could look like, I'm not going to say it could. I don't know what it's going to look like. I'll leave it at that. So the next answer to that question is the philosophy of the science of mind. The philosophy of this and other New Thought teachings, and certainly many Eastern teachings as well, is that the essence of life is infinite by nature. So it's not bound by what was or what is to come. And so when we speak of death, it's death of the physical body, right?
Right.
And so then if we look at that concept of heaven or hell in metaphysics and science of mind, heaven is defined as a state of mind. And so we can experience heaven, bliss, a life in a magnificent way here on earth. That's not a result of what happens beyond this experience. The same thing for hell, right? Mm-hmm. You look at the history of the word hell, it's an old archery term, which means missing the mark. I'm sorry, that's the word sin, but I think it's
very similar.
But hell is the same thing. It's a state of mind.
Well, I mean, my personal take, just living, you know, half a century now, that we are in a school. I mean, I feel like this is a time that we come here, and it's just like some people, they sit in the back and they draw on their notepad. They don't pay attention to the teacher. And then some people really pay attention and excel and do well. And then when it comes to the hell part, I feel that sometimes we live through our own hell. You know, drugs, addiction, depression, you know, bipolar, you know, all these things that, even poverty sometimes, but again, sometimes the worst things can bring out the best in other people and, or yourself. 'Cause then when you do discover who you are, you realize that life is precious. So I just feel like this is a school, and we can take it as it is and, live it as a, you know, a wonderful, planet and a home for us, or we can say that this was a hell on earth, as they say.
Right. Well, if it is a school and we are here in class on a daily basis, then the question really comes down to, then how are you showing up?
Right.
And not from a place of judgment, more from a place of discernment. So, you know, a self-inventory of how am I showing up today? Mm-hmm. And am I showing up being the being of light that I want to be? Or am I showing up as an expression of darkness?
Right.
Right. So, but that we really have the opportunity to make that choice. And also know that the choices that we make are not the last choices we're going to make. If we don't like the experiences that we're having based on the choices that we made, then take a deep breath, suck it up, and then make another choice. Mm. You know, that's really the key to metaphysics and spirituality is that you, Dr. Ernest Holmes says that the principle of creation in life is not bound by precedent. So if we don't like what we're experiencing, then think anew, choose anew, love anew, give anew, shine your light anew, right? And that law of life will then bring an experience that reflects that.
And I think, you know, it's funny and not funny for some people, but you get those people that say, every time I date, I get the same type of person. They treat me the same way. And you know, it turns out the same that, you know, they end up breaking my heart. And the old joke is like, doctor, every time I raise my hand above my head, it hurts. And the doctor says, well, don't raise your hand above your head. It's the same thing. It's like, well, it's your choice of choosing the people that you choose to be with. And you know, do you agree with that?
I not only agree with that, I think it's even deeper than that.
Give it to me. I want to hear it all.
I don't know what kind of language I can use.
You
here,
can use
I'm
whatever.
I'm safe. So the problem with that way of life, when I say problem, meaning the reason that cycle continues for those individuals that we're talking about, is because they're choosing to go through life, basing life on what they get, as opposed to how they give. And if we are one with the universe and we are one with the nature of the universe, the nature of nature is to give. Now, I will never forget my biggest aha around this was in the Atlanta Church of Religious Science. Hmm. And the minister and teacher at the time was Dr. Kennedy Schultz. And he stood at the podium and pulled his finger up in front of us. He goes, the problem with people in life is that on Saturday night, they go out trying to get laid. But really what we're called here to do is to go out and give laid.
No, that's
right. And as fundamentally elementary as that is,
right.
At the same time, it really is brilliant because it really speaks to what we're called here to do. Right? So if you want to change the type of people that you're attracting into your world, to be in relationship with, whether that's romantic or sexual or business or personal or just in general, the field of people you want to be around with, don't put it on them to be different. Choose to be different yourself and then to give more of that. Become the very thing that you desire to experience, and then you'll attract that into your world.
So what do you think about angels, spirit guides, fairy godmothers?
I love every one of them. That's what I think about.
But so as a spiritual mind and where, you know, God could be us. How does the center of spiritual living think of those type of beings? Right, are they the same or similar?
But I want to answer that. But before I answer that, I want to what you just prompted with him is I'm teaching a class right now. I'm called The Essential Ernest Holmes. It's really not about Ernest Holmes. It's really more about us growing. And but one of the quotes that I use this week of his is that God is love and love is God. And we're not talking about love as the human emotion. We're talking about love as the self-givingness of the divine, of the spirit, mm-hmm. whose desire is to create more of itself out of itself. And the only way we can do that is through you and through me.
Right.
Right. All right. So, so angels. So yeah, they exist. It makes sense to me that if life is on a continuum, right, meaning it's infinite, and it's also one activity taking place, while yet there is still a multifaceted aspect of that, it makes perfect sense to me that there will can be what we call angels or guardians or teachers from beyond the realm of life that we know that. And personally, I've had experience that not only can they, and they do show up, but that can be both in physical form and also in esoteric form. So I think it's important for us as we cultivate our consciousness, our state of mind, the way that we show up in life, is to welcome those in.
I totally agree. Have you ever had an experience of an angel or a being?
Yes. Many.
Well, give us one example for, because there's a lot of people, you know, we're going to talk about aliens, UFOs here in a second to see what your thought is. But there's a lot of people that have experiences and they either think it's just, you know, a dream. They think they're crazy. But when they hear other people tell the stories, they go, oh, maybe I'm not so crazy or nuts.
Well, I will. I don't even know which one to choose. There's so many to choose from.
Let's give a good
start
one.
I have seen many different, seen meaning I've gone to many different psychics, to healers, to people that deal in the phenomenon of energy that is transcendent of the physical realm that we live in. And on many occasions, I will either walk into a room or walk into a building or be with that individual that's doing the reading, and they'll ask me, am I aware of the person on my shoulder? And I always say to them, yes, he's right here, and his name is David, right? But it was a teacher of mine for many years that then went on, passed away. Hmm. And so he came to me for many, many, many years. But I'll share another story that would probably seem more practical for those that may or may not believe in this or want to believe it. But as I've stated, I'm a firm believer in it, and I had adopted a dog, rescued a dog years ago. And I just wanted to make sure she was happy. And so that wanted to know if she wanted another dog or not. So I hired a pet psychic, and we had had several readings. And in this particular, she reads the dog and then sit down together and we have a communication via the telephone. And in that communication, she gives me the information that the dog wanted. Every time, Sadie was her name. Hmm. Sadie always told the psychics, under no circumstances or conditions do I want another dog or companion in my house. Like, she just wanted me. But so I'm sitting there drinking scotch, having a, you know, enjoying this process. And the psychic began to tell me about a woman who was sitting at the end of my couch. And obviously there was not a woman physically on my couch. And there again, the psychic's in a different location. And as she began to continue talking to me about this woman and describing her, and the woman would get up and move around the room, she would then recall instances with me with this woman. And as she recalled the second one, I knew very clear that was my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. And so I know with every fiber of my being that that entity was there. Now, I also know that the way that I processed it was through my mind. And so it all comes back to mind always.
Well, one of the subjects.
Can we go on with those?
Oh, we could go on for a while with that one. We may have to do a part two on that one. All right. But one of the subjects that we touch on a lot, we are very involved with the ufology, UFO community. Mm-hmm. I actually one time interviewed somebody from NASA, and they were talking about, you know, the new planets that are being discovered all the time. You know, 30, 40 years ago, there were just a handful of planets. Now there's thousands and thousands. And he said, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, there are going to be tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands planets discovered. And many of them could sustain life. What is your thoughts on aliens, UFOs, whatever you want to call them, extraterrestrials, and beings from other worlds? What is your take on that? And what does Center of Spiritual Living think about that?
Well, I don't necessarily want to speak on what Center for Spiritual Living thinks in regards to that. But I will say this from a Centers for Spiritual Living, metaphysical science of mind perspective, is that the very core element of this teaching is that life is infinite, and that we are all made of the same cosmic dust as these planets out in the universe, that we are one with that creative force. So then for any of us to think that that is an impossibility, it's just incredibly arrogant.
Yeah,
I think that we are the most celestial being on the food chain of expressions of life. And so I think that's my initial answer, but I want to add another layer to that, which is I've now said twice that my favorite Ernest Holmes quote is, "Spirit has placed the stamp of individuality upon itself and called it you." Why would that not also pertain to any other expression of life? Right. And so my personal take on that is that, of course, there's other life forms out there. I think there's other life forms here on this planet. We just haven't trained ourselves to see them or communicate with them. And also they may not take form in the way that humans or sentient beings do.
And we're going to talk about evolution here in a second, but I totally believe that. I believe, because like I said, this gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he was saying that new discoveries all the time of Earth-like planets. And I say that if you think God only created human beings and animals for this planet, you're limiting God's power or the universe power of creating the universe and galaxies and all these millions and millions of planets. I couldn't imagine anybody to question that.
Well, and I agree, and I want to just respond to what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think it's important for us all to understand you can't limit God's power.
Exactly.
You can only limit your perception of the power.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I mean, that's like you said, that's very arrogant to think that. Evolution. I mean, we've seen, you know, we've had dinosaurs, and some people deny it, but, you know, we have dinosaurs that lived on our planet, and they were wiped out. We've had many different evolutions from different types of animals, plants, and change into complete different beings, but they're related to these past creatures or living beings. I think the human beings, the evolution is consistently, not necessarily our facial, our fingers and all that, but I think spirituality. Why does it seem like sometimes our spirit, our beliefs are still strong, but we've 1,000, 2,000 years ago, it seemed like we were so much closer to the universe than we are now, where we believe the people in the churches and we believe, you know, a Bible that was written 2,000 years ago by a man or by men. And why do we feel like we're so much further away than 2,000 years ago?
Because we are. We've created mechanisms, institutions, social structures, industry, literal mechanics, machinery, these things we carry around in our hand, that imposes separation from that. And so that's really what the practice of spirituality is all about, is about returning to that within us that knows that we know that we are one with the great I am. That's my philosophy. But I also think if you look at the dinosaurs and the various forms of expressions of life that you're speaking of that evolved, oftentimes that is a result of an adaptation to nature. Mm-hmm. And so we don't necessarily have to do that, adapt to nature. We as beings that have the mental wherewithal, the intelligence within us, both humanly as well as divinely, can choose to evolve consciously. And so we have the ability to take quantum leaps in how we want our experiences to look by how we choose to act, to think, to believe, to develop a state of not only our own human awareness on this planet, but our divine awareness, being a divine being navigating life as a human. And I believe that that is what we're called here to do at this time on this planet. Clearly, we are doing things physically to our planet that's not healthy. It's not propagating a good future for us. So I believe that we're called to do that. And I also think that we are called to be better stewards of taking care of each other.
For sure. And I think that's the biggest thing right now, is we can see in the political realm and just, you know, different cultures that we just feel so divided, where nobody, it's almost like listening to Charlie Brown teacher. All we hear is want, because we don't want to hear the truth, or we don't want to hear another opinion. And I think that's...
Well, you're right. People are hearing, but not listening.
Right.
That's the difference. Hearing is that you're aware of the audible, the what's going on audibly. Listening is moving beyond that and being present. Mm. Then choosing to allow what's taking place to integrate to that place where we're interconnected.
You know? What did you say? I wasn't paying attention. I'm just kidding. one thing, Cheryl in the chat room wanted to know what your thought about reincarnation.
I think it's... my experience has been fantastic. So I know I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but my take on that is not so much about reincarnation, because that implies that we come back incarnating as we were before, mm-hmm. if you will. But so I don't think that's a necessity, but I do believe that life is forever expressing itself. The essence of life must have an outlet to do its thing. And so it's going to find that once you leave this form of life. Now, where and how it's going to find that, I don't know the answer to it, but I love that it does that. And I'm certainly open to a greater awareness of it, because I know it's happening.
Well, we just have a few minutes left, about 5 minutes left. And I would like, if you don't mind, would you... Those people out there that are struggling, and you know, the last year has been, I always say last year was a movie that I thought that would never happen, but it's happened, where we've been isolated. We've been, you know, going through trauma, deaths, you know, separation. How does one recover spiritually from something of this magnitude? You know, if it's financially, if it's, like I said, loss of a loved one, how does one begin that journey? To even, because sometimes you can't get out of that. You feel like you can't get out of that hole.
I absolutely hear you. And I have great empathy for anyone who's going through a struggle in their life right now. And I would say that there's the first step is to not isolate yourself, and to not let what's taking place in your life be the barometer for how you value yourself. Your value as a being of life is far greater than any experience that you're having, that you are truly one with a power that is transcendent of experience. And then to know that because of that, you can help co-create the new experience that you want to have. So in that manner of reaching out to humanity, to a loved one, to anyone, feel free to reach out to me if you need someone to listen to you, to help support you on this journey. But to know that you have the ability today to plant a seed within your mind, within your heart, and within your soul, that you are one with the great I am, as I just said. And to know that you're not going to harvest that seed today, that you'll harvest that seed at a different time. And so life is worth staying present for that. And much like is said in the LGBTQ movement, it gets better. And just know that deep within you, that you know it gets better, that the universe has your back, as does that power known as the thing itself or God. And let love guide you to the next step.
Well, how do people, I know you said you had some classes and some stuff coming up. Could you let them know where they can maybe participate?
Absolutely. You can find us. Our website is csl-la.org. as well as you can find through that website. You can connect to our social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, or we're on YouTube. Certainly because of COVID, everything that we're doing right now is technology-based. I have a service every Sunday morning that takes place at 10 a.m. Pacific time. You're more than welcome to join us then, or you can watch those on our YouTube channel. And not only am I accessible through there, we have individuals that are called practitioners that are licensed to work with you to help fine-tune your thinking in a way to reflect your divinity. I'd like to close with talking about the qualities of the divine that exist within you. In our philosophy and faith and way of life, we believe and know at our core being that our inherent qualities are of peace and power, beauty and joy, light and life, and love and wisdom. And so we're here to support you finding those within you and then living them. The vision statement for my ministry is supporting individuals finding their personal self-empowerment through a spiritual awakening. Know that there are many here on this planet to help you on that journey. And so thank you for your time today.
Well, this is great, and I appreciate your time. And everybody, thank you for welcoming Reverend Dr. Keith Cox of the Center of Spiritual Living. He is the spiritual leader there. And go to www.csl-la.org. And please, he gave you the invitation. If there is something that you need to get off your mind or you're going through a struggle, he's very open to listening mm-hmm. to that. So, but thank you, Reverend Doctor. I appreciate you for being part of the show.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. It was a great time.
Oh, I had a blast. And everybody, thank you so much for always tuning in and being a part of Truth Be Told. We really appreciate it. If you don't mind sharing this show with your friends, your loved ones, anybody that's out there that needs to hear this, we'd appreciate it. And always go to truthbetoldworldwide.com and check out upcoming shows. And also, if you don't mind subscribing, leaving a comment, good ones, please, and listen to our podcast. Until next time, I'm Tony Sweet. For Truth Be Told. Take care.